All this new information needed to be filed, ordered, and compared with what was known. The world was desperate for a workable system of classification. Fortunately, there was a man in Sweden who stood ready to provide it. His name was Carl Linné, later changed, with permission, to the more aristocratic von Linné, but he is remembered now by the Latinized form Carolus Linnaeus. He was born in 1707 in the village of Roschult in southern Sweden, the son of a poor but ambitious Lutheran curate, and was such a sluggish student that his exasperated father apprenticed him, or, by some accounts, nearly apprenticed him, to a cobbler. Appalled at the prospect of spending a lifetime banging tacks into leather, young Linné begged for another chance, which was granted, and he never thereafter wavered from academic distinction. He studied medicine in Sweden and Holland, though his passion became the natural world. In the early 1730s, still in his 20s, he began to produce catalogues of the world's plant and animal species, using a system of his own devising, and gradually his fame grew. Rarely has a man been more comfortable with his own greatness. He spent much of his leisure time penning long and flattering portraits of himself, declaring that there had never been a greater botanist or zoologist, and that his system of classification was the greatest achievement in the realm of science. Modestly, he suggested that his gravestone should bear the inscription Princeps Botanicorum, Prince of Botanists. It was never wise to question his generous self-assessments. Those who did so were apt to find they had weeds named after them. Linnaeus's other striking quality was an abiding, at times one might say a feverish, preoccupation with sex. He was particularly struck by the similarity between certain bivalves and the female pudenda. To the parts of one species of clam he gave the names vulva, labia, pubis, anus, and hymen. He grouped plants by the nature of their reproductive organs and endowed them with an arrestingly anthropomorphic amorousness. His descriptions of flowers and their behaviour are full of references to promiscuous intercourse, barren concubines, and the bridal bed. In Spring, he wrote in one oft-quoted passage, "Love comes even to the plants. Males and females hold their nuptials, showing by their sexual organs which are males, which females. The flower's leaves serve as a bridal bed, which the Creator has so gloriously arranged, adorned with such noble bed-curtains, and perfumed with so many soft scents, that the bridegroom with his bride might there celebrate their nuptials with so much the greater solemnity. When the bed has thus been made ready, then is the time for the bridegroom to embrace his beloved bride and surrender himself to her."